You already did.
No, I didn't. I'm doing it now.
You did press play now?
I did press play now.
You didn't have it on before.
I didn't have it on before. No. You missed
Remember, a couple weeks ago, you tricked me.
I know. Yeah, I didn't trick you this time, though.
And that made me look real bad because I was trying to swindle you on a couple of
Well, yeah, you were trying to swindle me on a Smurfs comic.
All three.
And although I did... I think it was Spider
again
that made a comment saying, when does the con season start? And you said about 10 minutes ago when you tried to sell me that book.
A set of books.
Sorry.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that champions all things comics. I'm Walt.
I'm Chris.
And we're here to talk the talk. Hey, so I had a buddy. I don't know if it was real or not. Buddy, send me a online link,
yeah,
or something about you know, DC Marvel explores buying DC because I think DC is for sale or something.
Well, I don't know if it's for sale, but I haven't heard that. But it's kind of fledgling, right? Like it doesn't seem to be doing gangbusters, and certainly there's been talk for a long time about. You know, not selling or making the monthly books anymore, or the floppies, as people call them, going straight to trade paperbacks, or not even just kind of using those characters for movies, video games, and all that kind of stuff. Now, I remember stuff like this happening a long time ago, and this was, I remember 30 years ago that when Warner Brothers, who still owns DC, the rumor was that basically DC was just a R&D, like research and development for new ideas and new characters.
That's what Marvel Publishing is too, though.
I think that was sort of the mandate for Warner Brothers.
Kind of like a smart, decision, especially if you're having all your money through toys,
right?
Like licensing and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to ask you. Let's say, it was from a site by Viral MVP on May 23rd.
Okay,
I don't know what Viral MVP. Maybe it's just like a made up thing.
Yeah.
So it's called Disney looking to acquire DC Comics and join Marvel. By Viral MVP, May 23rd, 2021. Warner Discovery is being sold soon, it says on the bottom.
Okay, so the idea here is that there's a possibility, maybe not, but there's somebody's talking about the idea that Disney wants to buy out DC.
That's right. So I wanted to talk to you, if that's even true, what would that look like?
Is it a good thing? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it is a good thing.
Why wouldn't it be a good thing?
Well,
I don't know.
I think the worlds of DC and Marvel are so different. But maybe they don't have to be. But yeah. I think it comes down to the fact that, with Marvel, there's always that little bit more of that human edge to it, mm-hmm. right? And which is what made Marvel what it is. Whereas DC were sort of like,
role models
or like the gods, right?
The gods.
Whereas Marvel were like the everyday heroes, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what DC needs, a touch of Marvel.
Maybe. Right. I think they could definitely use it. But I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing that they have that. I mean, you look at characters like Superman, who are almost untouchable,
uh-huh.
And then you get a guy like Captain America, who is very touchable, but very he gets beat up all the time,
especially in an elevator. I mean, getting beat up, not touchable.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it a good thing? I don't know. I mean, it's always interesting, they've done it a few times where they've had the DC versus Marvel crossovers.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for 5 minutes.
So the investment there would be that JLA versus Avengers 4-issue miniseries.
Sure.
Superman versus Spider-Man and Superman versus Hulk treasuries
in
the 70s. All those early attempts.
Or even all those, remember they had that Amalgam line of comics where it was like they did the Bat Claw.
Yeah, the Amalgam is different though. The amalgam is taking characteristics of one Marvel and one DC character and merging them. Whereas, here's my take. Why not? And the reason I say why not is the long, slow downward trend of DC.
Mm-hmm.
This could stop it.
Absolutely, it could.
It could be one of those things in the industry per se where, you know, the monopoly is better than, you know, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I think, like, say a guy like Superman.
Yeah.
He could fit into Cosmic Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Kryptonian.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to all the other things. Say a guy like Batman.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, I forget about Superman and Cosmic Marvel. I want to see Daredevil and Batman and Hell's
Sure,
Kitchen,
sure.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, that
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
stuff, right? I don't know, Chris. I do know that Marvel would try to change the DC characters, kind of reboot them. But they're smart enough, I don't think, to reboot them. I think they would just start rewriting them.
I agree.
Right?
Let's be honest. I mean, it was... For a long time, Marvel and DC, both their styles of writing was very similar for
right.
a long time.
Right.
And then in the mid-80s, when DC decided that grim and gritty was the way to go and
right.
and darker was the way to go,
yeah.
The two companies really started to veer off from each other.
That's right. That's right.
For good or for bad.
Yeah. What was that called, that imprint that DC had in the late 80s?
Like Vertigo?
Vertigo, yeah.
That was meant to be like a creator-owned, more adult line of comics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you get it. Well, maybe it wasn't creator-owned. No,
I don't think it was, but it was definitely
adult.
Aimed to the adult.
Yeah.
You know, your Millers and your Moores and your...
Neil Gaiman.
Gaimans and all that kind of stuff, which was really cool. I'm thinking... from a collector standpoint, old fuddy-duddy standpoint, I'm old enough to remember the days, still, like, say, in the early 80s,
yeah.
very late 70s,
yeah.
where DC was still the daddy.
Sure.
And Marvel was the upstart, even though Marvel sales took over. Like just to have those golden age Batman
yeah.
and actions and detectives and stuff like that. And we've talked about this point before. That was when DC was 40 years old and Marvel was only 18 years old.
Right. Right. right.
So like Marvel's just a... But now they're both really old.
Yeah, exactly.
For a person, say, younger than you.
Yep.
Right? Person, say, 40 years old.
Yep.
35 years old. 30 years old. They're both ancient.
Sure.
So that mystique of DC being the kind of grandfather house and Marvel being, that's no longer.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, when you talk about the golden age of DC and all that stuff, I think there's a big feeling of who cares
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, they were the... They were sort of the granddaddy, but now it's like, well, it doesn't matter anymore because they've both been around for so long.
For so long, and they both, Steam Whistle Canada's premium Pilsner is fueling this show, and it just reminded me of that.
Right.
So it was, you know what it was saying? Steam Whistle was going, hey, Walt.
Hey, time to...
I need a plug.
Time for the plug.
Yeah, I need a plug. So Steam Whistle...
Theme Whiffle?
Yes, Canada's premium Pilsner, a fine Pilsner.
Fine Pilsner.
One of our commenters filled us in on the difference between ale.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Did you read it?
I did, but I don't really remember what it said.
So did I, but then I ignored it afterwards. So let's get back to this.
Okay.
So... Marvel buys DC.
Right.
Yeah, like I can't even fathom it, but I would welcome it.
I think I would
I
too.
Swear I
think I would. I think only because I want to see something. I want to see something done differently with DC.
Now, while I have you,
yes.
Who's to say? And this is where it kind of gets exciting. Who's to say that the corporate culture of Marvel will just inundate and dominate the corporate culture of DC?
Right.
Who's to say that there can't be some sort of synergies in storytelling and everything like that, where some backflow comes from the DC world into the Marvel world in terms of the way they do things
well,
to help Marvel?
Absolutely. And, I mean, we're assuming that it's all going to become one universe.
Mm-hmm.
They could still keep it as, like, well, there's the DC universe and the Marvel universe.
Right.
It just happens to be owned by Disney. Both of them.
Fair.
Right?
Fair. But then remember at the beginning or at the very end of that first Avengers movie where the sky opens up and they pour in from the It could be one of those things where they know of each other.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And periodically, that's kind of the way they do a 10-year plan in terms of amalgamating the two universes, but they don't do it right away.
Yep.
They'll do forays.
Right.
You know what? We've just discovered... And then, you know, 617 or something and then, I don't know, they gauge public interest. And then they basically do their schedule based on how well things are being received. Here's what I think Marvel does way better than DC. And this is where I think DC needs the most help.
Okay, what is it?
I'll put it bluntly.
Put it bluntly. Lay it on me.
DC is Batman.
Right.
Marvel is able to take E-list, never mind C-list,
yep.
E-list characters and pull money and fame and public interest into them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Yep.
DC's B-listers are forgotten relics.
Absolutely.
They cannot... sustain a title. They cannot. You know what
and,
I'm saying.
But I get what you're saying. But I think that's. I mean, I don't look. I'm not a corporate guy. I don't understand how that works.
Right.
But I'm assuming that that's because of corporate structure, and they're saying, "Hey, we've got this one character that makes us lots of money. Let's focus on that."
Right.
Rather than saying, "Hey, we've got 1,000 characters. Let's find some good writers and make some great stories."
Right.
And try to pique interest and stuff.
Right. Well, hold on, though. I guess my point was, though, Marvel's looking past print and past entrenched readers.
Right.
Because entrenched readers are set in their ways. Marvel's looking at the stable of characters and trying to figure out, hey, wait a minute. This character is going to translate fantastic in video.
Right.
On a movie, right. on a TV show. In a video game, I don't know. You know, my point is, Marvel has done that countless times where us, you and me, Chris,
yep.
and all the people commenting on our show, we're set in our ways. We're not going to give whatever a chance because, you know, the guy that was, you know, the dog that was in Eternals, you know what I mean? We're done. Like,
yeah,
we're past
yeah,
him. He had his chance for us.
Yep.
But Marvel sees, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All the characteristics that make this a pop culture thing
right.
are there.
Right.
Let's pull that character out and put it into a film or put it into a thing. They've done that successfully more times than I'm willing to admit.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? Where kind of DC with their, you know, I remember in the 2010s, you know, remember with their... New 52 and stuff like that. And of course, you know, you feel bad, but six issues in and this series is canceled.
Yeah,
this series
is canceled.
And this series is canceled. And who was the one guy your friend Brian likes?
Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle?
Yeah.
Like, DC tried like literally 11 titles.
Yeah.
11 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but a lot of different times.
Sure.
Each time it lasts 5 issues and then it goes away. And
yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It seems that maybe print isn't the answer for Blue Beetle.
Right.
Maybe something else is.
Maybe.
And that's where Marvel, Disney Marvel entity,
yep.
seems to be doing better than the Warner entity.
Yep.
And that merger might help those secondary DC characters.
I agree.
I don't know.
But, you know, I one of the things, and we talked about this, we started to talk about it, but then we got sidetracked. One of the things that DC used to do a lot of back in the 1980s They really tried a lot of different kinds of titles.
Right.
And they don't see them doing that anymore. I see them, like, you know, you look at the titles from the 80s where they had Vigilante and Conquerors of the Barren Earth, and they had Alpha Flight, not Alpha Flight, Atari Force.
Right.
And, you know, all these different titles that, you know, Warlord, and nobody really, like, they've never really gone back to try new titles. They've never really gone back to try new things or create new characters that people can latch onto. It's all based on now the Superman world or the Wonder Woman world or certainly the Batman world.
Hey, how's before I continue, how's your Vigilante collection coming?
We're still in the pandemic. I haven't had a chance to go anywhere yet.
That's true. That's true. Well, I'm working on my team up run, and I haven't even I know I got team ups in the warehouse here somewhere.
Yeah, I plan on pilfering your Vigilantes in your warehouse.
Nice. I like your style,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah.
Admire it. bring your wallet.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can talk with this Archie number 271.
Yeah, well, sure.
I'll trade you some Vigilantes.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Yeah, so like I say, news like this, for the old DC purists, I'm sure they'll hate it.
Mm-hmm.
For just, you know, naysayers in general, I'm sure they'll hate it. I would welcome it and I would love it because it's just an upheaval, like something different, something new.
Now, here's a question for you.
Go.
If this happens, what do you think happens to the back issue market of the DC Comics?
Explodes.
You think so?
Explodes. It's funny you say that, Chris, because I've been on soapbox the last 2-3 months on Time to Collect.
Yeah.
About how undervalued DCs are.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, the same issue, the same grade, the same era, the same type of character. Marvels are pulling in 3-4 times more on the market.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where I'm thinking, man, oh man, there's like a real disconnect with the market and the quality DC stuff. I'm just going to say the silver, bronze, and copper.
Yeah,
like up into the let's say up into Dark Knight.
Sure.
And once things got gloomy. So let's say from 1956 to 1986 for all intents and purposes. There's so much great DCs in there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And they're going for fractions of what the same Marvel, similar Marvels are going for.
Yep,
and I think that's the value right now in the collecting universe. If you're not going to be the lemming,
right?
And if you're not going to follow the trailer drops and cameos on the streaming services,
Right? You can't. I mean, you can try that, but you have to be so quick on that.
And you also have to have deep pockets.
Deep pockets.
So now let's talk about which are the items that you get. We talked about the JLA versus Avengers.
Yeah.
We talked about the treasuries, the Superman, Spider-Man, Superman, Hulk.
Oh yes, yes.
You talked about the Amalgam.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a hard question.
Didn't they do a versus series? Didn't they just do a Marvel versus DC?
I think they did. Yeah.
At one point,
yeah.
Where there's, if I remember correctly, the first issue was Marvel versus DC. Then the next two were DC versus Marvel, and then the last issue was Marvel versus DC. Just to kind of give each of them, you know, top billing.
Top billing. So there's a hard one. I'm sure. Because the show's kind of a fresh idea, so we didn't have time to research and everything like that. But what characters would you hedge on kind of popping based on knowing that Marvel has them now? So forget about Superman, right? He's already worth tons of money. Forget about Batman. It's not like Marvel picking up Batman is going to make Batman a $2 million book into a $5 million book. That's going to do that on its own.
Right.
Right? Like, does that move help Power Girl?
It might.
I don't know.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
Like, what kind of character would that book? See, I'm thinking it would help the secondary, tertiary characters.
I agree.
I'm also thinking it would help the... So what do you do? So what do you do with the characters that are kind of mirror images of each other?
Like, what do you mean?
Like Deadpool was made after Deadshot.
Right.
Thanos was made for Darkseid.
Well, yeah, Deadpool was made kind of after Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, sorry. Yes. Yeah, Deathstroke.
Yes.
So what do you do with those?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're long-lost brothers.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, there's something there.
I think
because
so.
Because there's death, and it usually was Marvel copying the DC stuff. Those two, anyway.
Yeah, for those, those two. Yeah.
And then you have to start looking at, okay, and this is where the well-versed DC here, fan might have the advantage, because they'll see characters and villains and go, whoa, that would make a great Daredevil villain.
Right.
Whoa, that would make a great villain for the Hulk.
You know what I could see? You know what I could see them doing? What? So remember, back in the 80s, DC did Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes.
Now, if they wanted to, you know, create one giant conglomerate, why don't they could just do another Crisis? And basically, it's Crisis and they reboot everything.
It's the
same, you know, because that's what they did with, that's how they got rid of all the Golden Age heroes, right? And they brought them, and this, that was also the way of bringing in the Charlton heroes, because Blue Beetle was the first appearance of Blue Beetle was in that Crisis book,
right?
So they do another Crisis, and now it's just the first appearance of those characters in the current continuity.
I like it. Here, I got. I'll one up you.
Okay, one up me.
Remember, we did a show a while back where you asked me really hard questions that I got. I think I got all of them right.
Sure, you did. Yeah.
One was you said variant covers. You said,
right.
Which book had the most variant covers?
Oh yeah.
And I got that right, of course, right off the bat.
Of course you did.
So here's what I'm thinking for the Crisis thing. We have a series of literally 500 variant covers of the famous number 7 where Superman is holding the dead Supergirl.
Oh, yes.
But we juxtapose a Marvel character holding a DC character.
Right.
And then the next one is Spider-Man holding...
And then the next one
is Hulk holding...
And the next one
is Batman holding a Marvel...
Whoever. It can go on and on and on.
And on. And you have like literally 500
I love it.
Variant covers.
I love it. I love it.
Of that... because that's a famous
absolutely
image, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, I think we're done, Chris. I'm for it.
I think I would be for it. Initially, I didn't really like the idea, but I think now that I think about it, I think both sets of heroes would benefit from. I think Marvel would benefit from having a bit of an influx in. And some newer, I mean, I shouldn't say newer ideas. Marvel's great at having new ideas.
Yeah.
But just, you know, having, you know, longtime DC fans who are, you know, cause remember, there's people who are, I'm a DC guy or I'm a Marvel guy.
Right, like
and
a
now,
Ford and Chevy guy.
Right. Now you're, just a Disney guy,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens there? So now I think it would be a good idea
I need
to
get
a
tattoo of Mickey on my
I think you should. Yeah. With one ear has the DC logo and one ear has the Marvel logo.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
So.
All right. Hey, listen, what's your opinion, please, on a DC Marvel merger? What are the possibilities? What are the chances? And would it turn out well?
Well, we'll soon find out.
All right. See everybody next week.
And have yourself a great day.